What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dream a Little, the podcast that's all about helping you feel confident about your ABDL side. I'm your host, Lo. Thank you so much for listening. I had so much fun chatting with Brandon and learned so much about working with a professional mommy. We're going to cover what the process looks like when you reach out to a professional, how much you can generally expect to pay for a session, and what it's like once you meet them in person. I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. If you're not quite ready to hire a professional in person yet, but you could use some help getting into Little Space, I've got you covered. I have a membership website with over 60 immersive audio role plays, plus a new one every Monday. So get ready to get all cozy with me while I help you regress as if you're right here in the room with me. Being a mommy is my passion in life, so I do my best to make sure each and every role play feels real and authentic so you can slip into that headspace easily. This week, I'm releasing a collaboration with Mommy Valerie, which is super exciting because there's just something so incredibly hot about babying someone with another mommy. If you want to hear a preview of the role play, head over to thelittlelounge.com/175. That's thelittlelounge.com/175. All right, I'm not going to make you wait any longer. Let's dive in. What's up, Brandon? How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. Lo, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. It's really nice to have you here. So what do you identify as within the ABDL community?
Definitely a little. Been into the scene a long time. So I would say age range 3 to 4 male in that,
okay, cool.
That area.
How long have you been in the scene?
I would say over 10 years now, actually.
Oh, wow. And by in the scene, do you mean like actively meeting people or do you mean discovering that you were into this?
Actively meeting people. I'm actually lucky and kind of fortunate enough. I live in a big metro city and there's actually a lot of community members and people who are very supportive. So yeah, I'm able to meet people and connect.
That's great. You know, so often people tell me, Lo, where are these websites and where do I find out about these events? And so could you give us a little insight into that about how you find out about these events? Is there a vetting process to get invited to them? How does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, social media, those are, you know, big, I guess, finding people that are compatible. You can kind of look at profiles and kind of see if you can connect. And then you can reach out to them email. Those are still, social media is probably the most powerful, I would say, tool in locating a partner. Aside from that, I'd probably have to say some of this, the community, ABDL, some of the bigger links as well. Those are great resources for anybody who's looking to connect for either going to events or just finding individuals who share the same kinks that you guys do, you know?
That's great. You know, a lot of times people talk about FetLife for finding out about these events. Have you ever gone through that medium?
I have. And actually, that's probably one of the more reputable ones to find play partners and individuals who want to connect with the ABDL scene and community. But yeah, FetLife is probably another great resource. I'd probably say right behind some of the big social media platforms. Absolutely.
You know, a long time ago, way back before I had the podcast or any social media, I was on FetLife and I really struggled with it. But I have a feeling that's because I didn't fill out my profile at all. I didn't really have any pictures. So I feel like it makes a big difference, probably, I would assume, if you take the time to, you know, put some work into your profile and add a little bit of information about yourself. Have you found that to be true?
That's very true. Whether it's a more descriptive biography about yourself, maybe some location. But yes, the more information you have on your profile, I think the more interactions and impressions you'll get with other individuals who are on that social media platform.
What about reaching out to other people for a first contact? How do you usually do that?
It's always email. I always send an introductory email, you know, about myself, kind of like a little backstory of, you know, who I am, what I'm into, and just kind of introduce myself. But email, I mean, that's always the formal communication method, I think, for reaching out to anybody that that is definitely involved in the scene, you know?
Absolutely. Okay, so if I recall right, you've had some experiences with professionals as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nationwide, I've been fortunate enough to meet and connect and actually have, you know, a very in-depth ABDL scene. And yeah, that's what I've experienced.
I love that. I've never had any experience with that, but I'm all for, you know, doing whatever it takes to experience your fantasies in real life. And who better to do that with than someone who's professional and does this for a living? That's really cool. So what is that like? I'm assuming that the email part still applies when you're reaching out to a professional, and you probably introduce yourself the same way, right?
Correct. Yeah, just kind of introduce myself and say, hey, I definitely like your profile, your social media. I see you're into ABDL, so am I. And just kind of ask them, hey, are you looking for maybe any littles at the time to experience this on a different level? And then kind of go from there.
How does it go with discussing something like rates? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they always, for the most part, a lot of these individuals are very, they do this for a living. They're definitely in the industry. They set their donation prices or your tribute for their time. And you kind of discuss it and go from there. And also you kind of set boundaries and limits during the session, what's allowed and what's not allowed.
You know, so often I hear people or guys in the community, I don't know how much of a serious issue this is, or if it's just a matter of not really doing the research on a person before you get involved with them. But it seems like some people in the community have trouble distinguishing, you know, professional mommies from scammers. And I just would ask, how do you know that someone you're potentially going to see is real or not?
That's a good question. One day that I personally kind of weed out the non-experienced mommies, so to speak, is I look for tenure. I want somebody who's established and I can see this type of play or connection at least a year or more. I know a lot of these profiles and pages, when they're under 12 months, they're kind of hard to take serious. And I feel like I can't connect with them as well versus somebody who, a mommy who's more tenured, you know?
Absolutely. Okay, so what is a going rate, would you say, or an average rate? Do you pay hourly for someone who's a professional?
Yeah, so I would say upwards of anywhere between $200 to $300 for the donation for the time.
Okay, and is it called a donation for any specific reason, or?
That's, you know, I never really asked, but I know a lot of the reputable mommies in my metro area, that's the word they use. It's a donation for time and kind of, you know, resources. And that's what they list it as. So that's what I've always referred to it as.
Okay, that makes sense. That's really interesting. Okay, yeah. So is that $200 to $300 an hour and or total?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, when you're meeting up with them, how do you prepare to go? Do you just show up, or do you have to like also bring something with you?
So the bigger ones, I would say, they have pretty much a fully equipped ABDL, you know, dungeon, so to speak, or in room. They have the full crib, they have the diapers, they have the onesies, they have the pacifiers. So luckily, I don't really have to bring or provide anything. I can just show up and then we can kind of have our session there.
That's really cool. So did they ask any questions before you get there? Because I'm assuming like everyone likes something a little bit different, unless maybe they are really specific in the type of mommy they are and what they offer, I guess.
They do. That's something that I think goes along, like connecting with that mommy, because every scene is different. Maybe an individual wants that more motherly lurching or nurturing mother. Maybe an individual wants the strict, cruel, kind of humiliating or dominating babysitter. So that's something that's always communicated beforehand via email. I'm like, what kind of scene are you looking for? How can she set that and provide a great experience, you know?
Yeah. So what side do you fall on?
I would probably have to say the babysitter, more along the humiliation and dominating side, where kind of like I regress and I don't want to be
forced
to be a little.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
That seems to be pretty big and pretty popular within the community. Yeah. That's really cool. Do you ever switch things up just because like you're like, okay, I'll try it this way or I'll try something new? Or are you pretty set in like the things that you like?
It's funny you mentioned that. I did try to do it the I guess, more nurturing side
right.
for one session. But honestly, I just didn't enjoy it as much as when I was kind of being forced to get into, you know, diapers and the onesie and the whole attire with it, you know? So I didn't enjoy it as much. I did try it, but I don't think I would go back.
Hey, at least you tried it, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
So, whenever you first meet someone, maybe there's like a little bit of awkwardness. Like, how long do you think, or does it not take any time at all to get into that headspace?
That's a good question. So I would definitely say it takes about 15 to 20 minutes. It's not like when you walk into a room and it's like you're immediately transformed or the setting is there. You kind of have to build it up and kind of gradually go into that scene and go into, in my particular one, that age group, you know, of that 3 to 4 year old.
And that's a large part probably on the professional to be able to get you to feel relaxed enough or force you enough to yes. to get into that headspace, depending on what your style is, I guess. It's such a unique profession. So what drove you, you know, to make your first appointment?
So this originally started back years ago with a babysitter. That's how I kind of got into it, so to speak. We didn't really go along the ABDL with diapers, but that always, I guess, that babysitter kind of like watching you and coddling and nurturing you. So when I outgrew that and it was no longer there, I kind of started venturing off and kind of regressed and wanted to go back into that phase or that part of my life, you know?
Absolutely. So you're like, why not go for and support some of these professional mommies out there and experience it in real life?
Exactly. And I think, like I said, I'm very, very lucky and fortunate enough to live in a big metro city that I have those, you know, mommies that are available and also these play spaces, you know, so that's really comforting.
That's true. I mean, as opposed to, I don't know, living somewhere in the Midwest where you'd have to purchase a plane ticket or something just to go meet up with someone, it can add up really quick and get expensive. Whereas maybe in your own neighborhood, you've got lots of options there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever had a bad experience?
Actually, no. Like I said, I pride myself on doing the research and finding a dedicated mommy who's really into the scene because, I mean, you guys are going to see, you're going to get postings and profiles that are going to claim to be a mommy, but right. deep down, there can be some incompatibility issues, you know, where they might just be doing it for the donation. They might just be doing it to pass time, but for the ones that I have successfully screened, I've had an amazing experience with all the mommies that I've seen.
Does a large social media following have anything to do with how legitimate a mommy is, do you feel?
I would say so, yes, because if they have a large following, then that means that they're putting the time, effort, and resources in their profiles to connect and to kind of be there for the community, for some of the kinksters and for ABDL, you know?
Yeah. So I think if they've got a sizable following, especially if they have videos online where you've seen them in the role and you kind of get a preview of what they would be like during a session, if they're creating lots of content, I feel like I see profiles like this all the time where you go and it's just random pictures of a super hot girl not having anything to do with ABDL. And then the bio is just like, I'm a professional mommy, and they have like zero followers. And you're just like,
yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, you don't want to get catfished, because let's be honest, that does happen in this scene. There are mommies who are posing and just they're not really truly catering to the community or the individual. And that's kind of unfortunate, because that'll create a bad session for both parties, you know, during that. So absolutely, that's a great point. Yeah.
I also think it might be a red flag. I don't know for sure. But if someone with a profile like that is reaching out to you and offering in the very first message, like, hey, do you want me to be your mommy? To me, that's kind of a red flag. I don't know that professional mommies do that. They probably wait to be talk to? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe you can correct me.
That's true, because I mean, a legitimate mommy who has the following, who has the, you know, the people who are engaged, they're going to reach out to her directly, whether it's maybe a comment, maybe it's a DM, maybe it's an email. But generally, they don't have to go searching for their littles, because they usually the littles will go to them directly.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. How long have you known that this was something that you were interested in?
Like I said, I've been in the scene over 10, so I would probably have to say 15 to 17 years now. It's getting up there, yeah.
Okay, cool. Was there any certain thing that kind of made you realize, like, you know, what piqued your interest in, like, are you into diapers?
Yes, okay. Absolutely, yeah.
The diaper part specifically, you know?
For me personally, I think it would just have to be the nonchalant, the playtime, just the enjoyment, obviously the sensation. There's a lot that goes into wearing one. And then obviously when you add the aspect of a mommy, like, forcing you into one, it just kind of takes it to the next level. So yeah, that's something that I definitely enjoy, is that part, obviously, is wearing it.
Absolutely. It seems like you're pretty comfortable with this whole side of you. Have you always felt that way?
No, actually, I've kind of hit it, much like a lot of the individuals in the community. It's not something that you can really talk to with just anybody, because people have their views, they have their opinions. But no, I didn't accept it at first. It's kind of like it's definitely a journey building up to it, and I feel like there's different stages to it, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like a lot of people, and myself included, you go through different phases where you'll be super into it, and then you kind of, like, the binge and purge cycle, you know what I'm saying? Like, then you'll kind of almost, I would forget about it for, you know, months at a time, and I would push it so far down, and then one day it would come back, and it would be, you know, this burning desire again. It's kind of crazy when you don't have that that balance.
Can come into play, work-life balance, maybe a little is going to school, maybe there's other distractions. So that's a very good point too, because I feel sometimes it can obviously be put on the back burner, but when you do kind of rekindle and go back to it, obviously it's very joyful and it's a great experience, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever told a partner about ABDL, or even a family member or friend?
I have not, no. I've never discussed it with anybody, not a partner, not anybody like close friends, just because I'm still kind of, people have their opinions. And like I said, that's fine, but I'm very, I would say very shy about it. And obviously who I talk about it, you know, I always feel it's got to be a community member.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would be so great if every ABDL could find another ABDL to have as a partner. I mean, it obviously makes things much easier than having to talk to someone who could potentially reject you or judge you and make you feel bad for liking the things that you like.
That's very true, because it could be a hurtful experience. They can make you second guess yourself. They can make you doubt it and maybe kind of shy away from it. So that's why I always encourage everybody in the community, if you're going to talk about it, make sure it's with like-minded people who are aware of it and actually know, like, the true kinks and how, what there is to offer, not just anybody, you know?
Absolutely. Have you ever, when you're going to, like, these other events with, I'm assuming you've been to, like, you know, just social events that aren't necessarily paid for sessions?
Yeah, a lot of the gatherings or mixers, kind of like, even the fetish and alternative, like I said, those were great because you see like-minded people who are non-judgmental, who are there just to welcome everybody, whether it's orientation, whether it's preference, whether how they identify. They've always been welcoming and great community members and great resources to connect to.
Yeah, I haven't been to any in-person events, but it seems like it could be a really nice experience to surround yourself with, like you said, like-minded people. What I'm always curious to know is, I hear this all the time, that there are more men in the community than there are women. Do you find that to be true?
That is very true. Yeah. When you look at the ABDL community as a whole, I tend to see a lot more males who are more, I don't know if they're more open about it or they discuss it, but a lot of the content I see is a lot more littles who are into diapers or maybe just being into the scene altogether. I don't see that many females who are in the little stage. Yeah.
Is that also true for these in-person events as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I were to put a percentage wise, I would probably say over 90% are male, and you'll get a couple females here and there, but I would say it's less than 10% female. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Those numbers are crazy.
Lopsided. It's like, where all the play partners at? Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I kind of get it. It's already intimidating enough to, you know, most people have the secret that they keep to themselves, and then to go to an event potentially by yourself and knowing that it's mostly, you know, men and you don't know them. I mean, it's intimidating, right? But
yeah, of course, especially for a single woman kind of venturing off into like a fetish or an alternative world, so to speak. Yeah.
Especially if you have an online profile, because you sometimes get the worst kind of DMs and messages from people that I don't think represent the community as a whole, but it can definitely turn you off to, you know, some potentially wanting to go to some of these events because you're thinking, are they all like this?
Yeah, because it kind of like it makes them not want to. Because I'll be honest, I mean, some of the guys or babies who are maybe more aggressive, who just maybe
aggressive
they commented.
Babies.
Yeah, exactly. And that, and for the social media, yeah, maybe they commented, and I've seen it. They say something that's inappropriate. They're maybe reaching for other areas or just trying to dig. I mean, that's not right, because I mean, a true little would probably, you know, put a little bit more time into effort and think about what they're posting or going to comment before they actually do it to a mommy, you know?
Right. It's so easy to hide behind a screen and say whatever you want versus, I mean, I would hope that they wouldn't act that way in person. And it sounds like you've got a good grasp on, you know, treating people in the community, both online and in person, with that same respect of, you know, we're just people here getting to know each other. We're more than just our sexual preferences and diverse.
Exactly. We're all just here to have a good time and to kind of, hey, let on the weekend when it comes, it just kind of get away from the rat race, so to speak, and kind of just let go.
Absolutely. It's a great stress reliever. Even mommy space for me is a great stress reliever. It just brings so much joy. And that's why, you know, when I hear people saying they feel so shameful about it, I'm just like, what? That's so sad, you know, because if you think about it, what we're doing is pretty innocent compared to a lot of other things that you could be into, even some of the more hardcore aspects of BDSM where you're getting beat up and all these things, you know?
And blood, and we're kind of, no, going along different avenues. But no, this is more, I would say, very consensual. I mean, both parties are agreeing to it. Like you said, it's not harmful. It's very soothing and relaxing at the end of the day, you know?
It really is. And it just, it brings about this sense of calm. And I just want everyone to be able to experience it. So I love your route of hiring a professional, supporting people within this community, and also making your fantasies come true. So do you ever ask for anything like specific? Like, do they ever ask, like, do you want me to say specific things? Or, you know what I mean? Like, how much control do you have as the client, basically?
So before session, I would kind of say we kind of set those boundaries. But once we kind of get into that rhythm, I kind of like to relinquish all of my control. And at that point, I am the little and kind of just obeying all of the commands, whether it's eating or getting a bottle or getting diapered or whatever the case may be. Once we're set, I relinquish all control and very submissive during the session, you know?
Absolutely. That makes sense. And it's not like when you think about a typical dungeon and it's like you're getting wax poured on you and you're getting whipped and like all these things. Like, I can't imagine in that sense when you're like a little, like you needing to hit pause on a scene for any particular reason, unless maybe the baby food was particularly gross.
Right.
You're like, all right, I can't eat this.
Yeah, I want to need something else. Or maybe just the some light discipline or, you know, spanking. That's fine because, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand. But you're right. I don't think the setting like of a typical red room or a pain room, so to speak, I don't think you kind of need that for being in the ABDL scene. You know, I think it's obviously a full-size high chair or full-size crib and kind of the more soothing and more lighter approach, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. So when the scene's coming to an end, is there some kind of like, I'm just curious to know if there's like some kind of like, hey, we got 30 minutes left, or like a gentle, you know, how they call it, like sub letdown, or what is it called?
They do, yeah. So towards the end, I would say probably a good 10 to 15 minute reminder that, hey, you know, we're closing in. They kind of break character at that point.
Okay.
And then you kind of ready. If you've been a good boy, maybe you'll get some type of reward with the mommy using devices. But no, that's a very good point, because they kind of do towards the end wind down, you know?
Do you find it's hard to get back into the bigger headspace, or does it happen pretty quickly for you?
I would say it probably happens pretty quickly towards the end, yeah.
That's what it is like with me and my boy, too. I mean, I know some people have told me they really struggle with getting out of little space, but I just don't know what that's like. For me, when I was little, too, it would be very fluid. Like, one minute I'm doing little things, the next minute I'm like on my computer doing business and doing taxes, like, you know, like, or I'm cooking dinner and like doing regular things. And even my fiance TK would be like, oh my God, it's amazing how quickly you just snap out of it. And I'm like,
exactly. You break character and that's like a complete 180. Okay, we're done and go back to our normal lives. Yeah.
It's kind of hysterical, because when my little and I are together, you know, sometimes his phone will ring, like his business line, and he'll answer it. They obviously can't see that he's in a diaper and a onesie.
Exactly.
He's like using his deep man voice, like, hello. I'm just like,
very professional. Yes. How may I assist you? And going straight into that role. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, that's, at the end of the day, we all have to keep in mind, like, there are two sides to us, but the primary one is adult. And when you're trying to make friends in the community, especially, like, get to know that adult side of people before you just dive into what do you use your diapers for and all these like super personal questions.
Yes, and that goes in kind of like, you know, connecting and relating and kind of just going, I guess, you know, building on a relationship, because there's some great individuals I've met, like I said, nationwide, who I still connect with daily. Love to keep in contact with them. So, you know, that's great when you're on that level.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for coming on the show. I had such a good time getting to know you and hearing about your experiences, and I'm really excited for you, and maybe one day we'll run into each other at an event.
Yes, again, thank you so much, Lo, for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, stay in touch.